today, iRecord is toast in the higher for longer world. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analyst, one of those posts covering finance and property news. Well, in my post yesterday, I highlighted the 4,200 support level for the S&P 500 and the risks if that was breached. Well, today, as the tech sector melted down, it dragged the S&P 500 index under the 4,200 support level. Rising treasury yields and political gridlock in DC dominated financial headlines, but it was Google's poor results that became one straw too many, and the index shed another 1.4% to 4,186. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down just 0.32% to 32,035, and the Nasdaq was down 2.43% to 12,821. Alphabet slumped more than 9% after its better-than-expected quarterly results were overshadowed by slowing growth in its cloud business. Google Cloud revenue rose 22.5% to $8.41 billion, but that missed Wall Street estimates of $8.6 billion, stoking worries that the tech giant is falling further behind in the artificial intelligence race. Some tech bulls, however, said that the sell-off was overdone, as its cloud makes up only 11% of revenue. Investors are placing too much relative value on the company's cloud segment, which accounts for just around 11% of revenue, versus the core advertising business, which accounts for 78% of revenue, Wedbush said. In contrast, Microsoft rose 3% after its better-than-expected fiscal first-quarter results were accompanied by stronger growth in its cloud business Azure. Azure reported a growth of 28%. That's a one-point acceleration from the 27% in the fourth quarter, and was the star of the show, UBS said, beating analyst expectations of 26%. This was by far the largest ever sequential Azure revenues growth that Microsoft ever posted in a September quarter, it added. The clear difference maker was AI, which gave Microsoft the edge and a strong start to trading. Alphabet is a little behind the curve, and that's come at an early cost for its cloud business, which, unlike Microsoft, showed slower growth. It goes to show how much emphasis investors are putting on the cloud and AI, that Alphabet overall reported stronger than expected revenue and earnings, but has been punished with shares falling significantly. Gold, on the other hand, went higher, knocking on the door of $2,000, and it's not just geopolitics that are driving this move, but also the forward-looking expectations around inflation, real interest rates, unemployment, and the labour markets, and the potential for a recession in the months and quarters to come. Worth noting here, though, that the value of gold has not done much since the peak of August 2008 during the global financial crisis. I suspect the gold bulls spouting a true value of around $5,000 will be disappointed again. In passing, let's also note Bitcoin has shot up to $34,688 from its previous $25,000 to $27,000 range, although the markets remain thin, so this can be a bit misleading. As to why Bitcoin has broken away from the major stock indices, which has been following for some time, well, it's probably anticipation of US regulatory approval of a Bitcoin ETF. This optimism is, of course, shared by major institutions such as BlackRock, and has led to a bullish market phase. The Bitcoin Fear and Greed Index, which is influenced by factors like volatility, volume, and social media sentiment, has risen to 72 from 66 just yesterday. A week ago, the index stood at a neutral 50. The index signals greed during bullish market phases and fear during downturns, serving as an indicator for contrarian investors. And significantly, soaring US Treasury yields are further boosting the appeal of bonds over stocks, deepening an already painful equity sell-off while threatening to weigh on equity performance over the long term. Bond yields, the historic lows, bolstered the attractiveness of stocks over the past 15 years when the US Federal Reserve kept rates near zero to support the economy following the 2008 financial crisis. But it is worth remembering that the US 10-year was well above current levels prior to the post-GFC cut-to-bilio period. In fact, the 10-year average was around 6.2% from 1950 to 2007. More recently, we've been living through an unusual period in history as low rates fueled massive growth in debt across the board, and so perhaps we're coming back to a more normal range now. Thus, this year's climb in Treasury yields is changing that calculus, as government bonds offer income that is viewed as risk-free to investors who hold them to term. The yield on the benchmark 10-year US Treasury, which moves inversely to bond prices, hit 5% earlier this week. That's the highest level since 2007, in a climb fueled by hawkish Fed policy fears and fiscal worries. As a result, many investors are recalibrating how big of a role stocks should play in their portfolios. Fund managers have been overweight bonds for 8 out of 10 months of 2023 and are currently above their average historical allocation, according to the latest survey from Bank of America Global Research. At the same time, they are underweight stocks. The largest spurt higher in yields, which began this summer, has taken its toll on stock investors. Although the S&P 500 is still up from the start of the year, it slid significantly recently, and it peaked back in July, and since then the 10-year Treasury yield has climbed by a full percentage point since then. It isn't as if we've never seen a 5 or 5.5%. That was the norm. What is difficult for the markets is that it has not been the norm for many years, said Quinsby Crosby, Chief Global Strategist for LPL Financial. The market is having to adjust to a new calculus. Rising bond yields raise the costs of capital for companies, threatening their balance sheets. Tesla CEO Elon Musk last week said that he was concerned about the impact of high interest rates on car buyers. At the same time, companies' projected future profits are more heavily discounted by analysts when bond yields rise, as investors can now get a higher reward from risk-free government debt. And meanwhile, the equity premium, the ERP, which typically pits the S&P 500 earnings yield against the 10-year Treasury yield to determine equity spreads' attractiveness, recently stood at 30 basis points compared to a 20-year average of around 300 basis points, according to John Lynch, the Chief Investment Officer at Comerica Wealth Management. Historically, the S&P 500 has shown average 12-month returns of less than 6% when the ERP falls below its average, Lynch said. In contrast, when the market's ERP surpasses that level, forward returns approach 12%. Investors, as well as the Fed, have also eyed bond term premiums as another factor pushing yields higher. The term premium is the added compensation investors expect for owning longer-term debt and is measured using financial models. It's currently at its highest level since 2015 at just below 0.5%. Low bond term premiums have been supportive of lofty equity valuations for most of the last decade. Stocks have averaged a forward price to earnings ratio of 17.8 over the past 10 years, while the term premium has averaged minus 0.3%. That compares with a historical average forward PE of 15.6 and a term premium of 1.4% since 1985. Note, though, that this is an average and some non-tech stocks are definitely in the gutter already. Current equity valuations also may be banking on overly optimistic earnings estimates if the higher interest rates slow the economy, as many analysts expect. As it stands, the S&P 500 companies are expected to increase earnings by 12.1% in 2024. If we have really prohibitive high interest rates, it's going to be hard to hit that target, said Matthew Miskin, co-chief investment strategist at John Hancock Investment Management. Despite the rising rates, some analysts say stocks can remain resilient. Analyst at UBS Global Wealth Management said in a note this week that the level of the equity risk premium does not look alarming, noting the level was even lower from 1980 to 2000. And if we look back at US equity returns during the higher bond yield period before the GFC, in fact, they were higher at around 11%. So perhaps we should not get overly negative on equities just because we have more competition from cash and treasuries, because that is historically the norm. And yet, on the other hand, if earnings growth is squeezed as expected, there are many stocks that are currently significantly overvalued. So perhaps the real message here is that individual stock picking is back, baby, rather than playing the index. Plus, there is always the risk, of course, that central banks panic and cut rates hard into a recession, something which they have form on doing. And so in fractious markets, sometimes watching from the sidelines is the best move until things shake out. Remember that October is often the worst month for stocks across the year. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.